It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. What a day so far. What a week. I'm just, man, what a trip. I do want to say hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in. It is September 15th, 2021. It is 1908 UTC, so I'm 8 minutes behind. I got out of my meeting at about 5 minutes before the hour, and I said, oh, I haven't eaten today. All I have in the fridge is some beer, so time to run to McDonald's. And that took me, I don't know, not bad, less than 15 minutes to get there and back, but still makes me late. Uh-oh, vocoder is on full distortion. Let's try to fix that. Let's bring the sections down. Boop. Boop. Okay. Alright, sorry. Thanks. Is the audio any better? I tried turning some things down so I wouldn't be clipping. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. Can you describe the distortion? Am I echoing? Sorry, Com. Sorry, everyone listening. There's an echo. I know what to do. Thank you. Okay. How about now? is this any better? I can't hear the output, apparently. All right. We figured it out. So, to get this to work, basically what I end up doing is I pipe the microphone output to a sink, and then I pipe another sink into a sink, and then combine those together, and that's what goes out. But unfortunately, what that means is that I need to be sure in my preferences that the output and input devices are not either of those things. And I accidentally had the output device pointed at the sink, so that meant that my audio was coming out twice. So, whatever. That's kind of how that was going. I do want to say that it's today is Wednesday, so that means we've got News to Me. That's this show. We got Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 19:30. Tobe just rolling in. Hello, hello. And then we've got Zeptar show on the radio on the calendar. I'm not sure if he'll be here or not. And Raleigh's tonight with the Banana Republic. Shout out to everyone in Com, X1, Publius, Stug, Impstony, SMJ, and X1. Oh, yeah, Dirty Rig, you guys helping me with my audio equipment fiasco, messing around. Impstony, thank you. Publius, I got a story in here for you. Sui, thank you so much for your help. Comb filtering. Millisecond delay. Comb filtering. Oh, is that what I should do? I will try that out. That also reminds me that the whole reason that I had this setup queued up to go is because the Google Fiber people came by this morning. They were supposed to come by at 4 o'clock, but alas, they called me up and said, hey, can we stop by at 9 a.m. instead? I said, sure. And so that led to, me going ahead and setting up OBS so that we could try streaming using OBS with the new internet provider. So I don't know. I've got 800 megabytes upload instead of 10. So hopefully it's better. Anyway, that's all the stuff I had to say. So much words, so many words, and we haven't even gotten to the way we always start. Do you know what that means? It's time.
World news.
For the world news. First, Tunisia's president says the mafia is in charge of the country. Tunisia's president, Kais Saied, said yesterday that the country is being run by a mafia and pledged to fight corrupt politicians. This is a state with two regimes, an apparent regime, that of the institutions, and a real regime, that of the mafia that governs Tunisia. I will not engage in dialogue with thieves, he added. Saied is a legal theorist and former law professor. He was elected in 2019 and has billed himself as the ultimate interpreter of the Constitution. He invoked that power on July 25th to fire the prime minister, freeze parliament, and strip MPs of their immunity and assume all executive powers. He has also taken control of the judiciary. So, his power grab came amid chaotic legislative infighting that crippled governance. It was followed by a sweeping anti-corruption drive that has included detentions, travel bans, and house arrests of politicians. So, Tunisia media have been speculating that Saied might announce a provisional government followed by a revision to the constitution to be submitted to a national referendum. He has justified his recent decisions by citing Article 80 of the Constitution, which envisages exceptional measures in case of imminent danger to national security. The Islamist-inspired Ennahda Party, the largest bloc in parliament and Saied's main rival, said it categorically rejects any suspension of the Constitution or change to the political system, including through a referendum. So, that's kind of one that I thought was very interesting, and just wanted to share. We'll just speed through a few other stories here. Go to Canada. A Canadian police officer who was shot 9 times by a colleague is now on trial for assault over the confrontation that began over a bathroom break. Constable Nathan Parker, age 55, of the Niagara Regional Police, stands accused of assault with a weapon, intent to resist arrest, and assaulting a police officer after allegedly attacking Detective Sergeant Shane Donovan on Tuesday. Ah, thanks, police. On Tuesday, Donovan told an Ontario court that he barely knew Parker when the two worked on a collision reconstruction scene in rural Ontario in November 2018. Donovan was leading the operation when he assigned Parker to stop residents from using the road. The court heard that Parker left the scene and became defensive when Donovan asked him to remain. Parker said he had to leave to use the bathroom. You're talking to a sergeant, Donovan told him. So it was a rank... A D measuring contest, sounds like. Confrontation escalated when Parker got out of his vehicle and shoved Donovan. You're under arrest for assault, Donovan told Parker. Donovan told the court that Parker continued towards him, throwing a haymaker punch and hitting him. The sergeant said he put up his hands in surrender and went back to his vehicle, but he was punched again by Parker, who then drew his police-issued baton. Fearing that a strike to the head could be fatal, Donovan drew his gun. Oh, you want to do this, said Parker, who unholstered his own weapon. So yeah, anyway, basically, it doesn't matter if cops are in Canada or not, they're all just not, it's just terrible. A haymaker is a big punch or a big event. I think it's the idea, like, when you go to throw, when you've got, like, a pitchfork full of hay and you go to throw it. That's what I always picture whenever someone says haymaker. Let's ask Urban Dictionary. And we'll figure out any audio problems eventually. Alright. Haymaker. A powerful, forceful punch. The word usually used in boxing. When the person swings with full force, twists his waist and shoulders round before turning back. That's what Urban Dictionary says. So it's when somebody turns all the way. Yeah, I think that's what it... I guess that would make sense what it is. The haymaker, oh, here's another definition. The haymaker is a two-part combination in which a devastating blow to the ribs is followed by a merciless and powerful donkey punch. Oh, this is a sex joke. Yeah, anyway, it says then leaving the partner unconscious. All right, that's all the time we can dedicate to that. We got a lot of sad and happy stories to go through. But yeah, Publius, I think that's about right. A big swing, kind of like somebody wielding a scythe, that's a good idea. All right, so we're going to run through the rest of these stories pretty quickly because, like I apologized at the beginning, I'm late. I'm so late. So, yeah, Urban Dictionary had, their line was about a sex position. All right. So, the 2015 Paris attack suspect says deaths of 130 people, nothing personal. The key defendant in the 2015 Paris attack said Wednesday the coordinated killings were in retaliation for French airstrikes, calling the deaths of 130 innocent people nothing personal as he acknowledged his role for the first time. Salah Abdel Salam, who wore all black and declined to remove his mask as he spoke in a custom-built courtroom, has been silent throughout the investigation. Observers were waiting to see if he would offer any details. Nine Islamic State group gunmen and suicide bombers struck within minutes of one another at several Paris locations on November 13, 2015, targeting fans at the National Soccer Stadium and cafe-goers and ending with a bloodbath in the Bataclan Concert Hall. It was the deadliest violence to strike France since World War II and among the worst terror attacks to hit the West, shaking the country's sense of security and rewriting its politics. So, hello, one of alts. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. All right. So, I've been saying that a lot. I'm sorry. I'm really hungry and my food's staring at me, so my mind is of two worlds. Speaking of two American climbers die scaling cliffs in Mallorca. Now, the big thing for me was I didn't know where the heck Mallorca was. And so, I had to Google it, or, you know, search it. And after I did that, hey, I knew it was going to be a story. Hey, DJ Zeptar, welcome, welcome. Maya Orca, thanks. Thank you. I love it. So, Mallorca is an island in the Mediterranean off the coast of Spain. So, anyway, it's a really pretty island. It's a big tourist destination, home to the city of Palma. And what else is there? Oh, it's pretty big. There's several little towns in here. Anyway, let's go back to the story. Let's talk about Mallorca. The big one in opposition to Menorca. Ah, cool. Publius has all the information about history and geography. All right, so bodies of men aged 25 and 35 found close to caves near port. Two American men died while scaling cliffs at a popular climbing spot on the southeast coast of Mallorca. The pair, who were 25 and 35 and have not been named, traveled to the Spanish island from Barcelona on Tuesday for a day's climbing in caves near the port of Puerto Colom. The area is favored by climbers who practice deep water soloing, or psycho block, a style of solo climbing that takes place over water in the hope of minimizing injuries. Oh, that's a bit of trouble, misfortune there. A spokesperson for the Guardia Civil in Mallorca said the alarm had been raised shortly after noon on Tuesday when nearby swimmers who had seen the pair climbing with a chalk bag spotted a body floating in the water. A local lifeguard and some nearby swimmers provided him with the first aid, but were unable to revive him. Then another body was spotted closer to the cave. The Maritime Rescue Service arrived, but there was nothing to be done. This is where I got my education from. The Mallorca Files is a British police procedural television drama series. Oh, cool. Starring Ellen Reese and Julian Lumen. Ah, that sounds like a fun show. The Mallorca Files. All right, I am so easily distracted, but it's okay. Your orca. Hey, Bud Stuff, welcome, welcome. Well, Germany is kind of in a sensitive spot, kind of like what would you say? Kind of like when a lobster sheds its exoskeleton, molts. It's very vulnerable. Well, today, for the first time in over a decade, Germany's Social Democratic Party is leading in polls of voter intentions in front of Angela Merkel's Christian Democratic Union, just as the general elections are due in September. This unprecedented situation owes a lot to the center-right candidate Armin Laschet, who has made several blunders. Angela Merkel is leaving, but her CDU will stay. This has been the most likely scenario for the German general election to be held on September 26th. But a small political revolution has taken place, just 1 month before the vote. For the first time in 15 years, the center-left SPD, that's Sierra Papa Delta, overtook the conservative CDU in the polls. With barely 10 days left until the vote, the Social Democrats are comfortably in the lead with 25% of intended voters, while Merkel's CDU has just 21%. This is surprising because the SPD has been stagnating around or below 20% at the national level for about 10 years, Thomas Pogunski, a social scientist at the University of Dusseldorf, told France. I got a message from someone I haven't talked to in probably a decade, and I got very, very concerned. But I think it was just a mistake, or a butt dial or something. All right. Sorry, did I tell you my motorcycle got stolen earlier this week? I've been answering my phone anytime anyone calls, and so hoping that maybe somebody has a lead. But anyway, story. North and South Korea both test missiles as tensions rise. Seoul and Pyongyang have both test-launched ballistic missiles, hours apart from each other, and a display of military assets that come amid a faltering diplomatic push to strip North Korea of its nuclear program. South Korea's presidential office said it conducted its first underwater-launched ballistic missile test on Wednesday afternoon, and that the domestically built missile, fired from a 3,000-ton class submarine, flew a set distance before hitting a designated target. So wild, right? They found SLBMs. Well, it's a submarine. They launched the ballistic missile from a submarine. Submarine launched ballistic missile. Is that what SLBM stands for? The test followed two short-range North Korea ballistic missile launches detected by South Korea's military earlier on Wednesday. So South Korea did the submarine missile launch. North Korea did a land-based launch. They're not both launching from submarines. I don't think Pyongyang has any submarines capable of that yet. The UN's rights chief is urging a moratorium on AI that risks rights abuse. Whoa, what is this? This is
time for tech news.
Artificial intelligence systems are used to determine who gets public services and decide who has a chance to be recruited for a job. The UN rights chief said, warning that data collected can be compromised, out of date, and even discriminatory. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, on Wednesday called for a moratorium on the sale and use of artificial intelligence systems that threaten human rights until adequate safeguards are in place to ensure that technology will not be abused. We cannot afford to continue playing catch-up regarding AI, allowing its use with limited or no boundaries or oversight, and dealing with the almost inevitable human rights consequences after the fact. So, this is interesting. I thought it was pretty cool because the UN, or any politicians, being aware of AI is, in a meaningful way, is kind of surprising. It's pretty cool. Amateur astronauts are set for SpaceX orbital flight, and this is going to be a really cool first. Four amateur astronauts are about to launch into orbit in another landmark mission for space tourism. It's the latest flight to help open access to space for paying customers. The trip has been paid for by U.S. billionaire businessman Jared Isaacman, who will travel with three crewmates. A healthcare worker, a science educator, and a data analyst will circle the Earth with Mr. Isaacman for 3 days. The hope to inspire others with their adventure and to raise money for children's cancer medicine. Accordingly, the mission has been named Inspiration 4. The Dragon vehicle, manufactured by SpaceX, will ride atop a Falcon 9 rocket. It's due to launch from Florida's Kennedy Space Center at 20:02 Eastern Daylight Time on Wednesday. So that's going to be 01:02 BST, British time. So this will be really cool. I'll be interested to see. This is kind of the scary part of space travel is, hey you guys with no training, go ahead and get in this rocket and fly around the planet. So hopefully things will be safe and nobody dies. And what else is going on? Well, check this out. An internet apocalypse could ride to Earth with the next solar storm. The sun is always showering Earth with a mist of kind of magnetized particles, ions, if you will, called solar wind. And for the most part, our magnetic shield, the magnetosphere, whatever you want to call it, blocks the electric wind from doing any real damage. Instead, it sends all those particles and it just kind of focuses it at the poles, which is why we get those cool aurora to look at. But sometimes, every century or so, the wind escalates into a full-blown storm. And as new research presented at the SIGCOM 2021 Data Communication Conference warns, the results of such extreme space weather could be catastrophic to our modern way of life. We need our shields up! Whoop, whoop, whoop. In short, a severe solar storm could plunge the world into an internet apocalypse that keeps large swaths of society offline for weeks or months at a time. Sangeetha Abdu-Jayothi, an assistant professor at the University of California, Irvine, wrote in a new research paper. What really got me thinking about this is that with the pandemic, we saw how unprepared the world was. There was no protocol to deal with it effectively. And it's the same with internet resilience. Our infrastructure is not prepared for a large-scale solar event. So, we're going to run out of time, but it just was like, wow, packets being dropped. Signal latency in the minutes. Basically, the storm would disrupt satellite communication. So anything that goes over a satellite while it was daytime, you just wouldn't have access to that data at all. Or you wouldn't be able to get it at all. So communication would be really limited. But you know what would be great is you could get your amateur radio license and do some terrestrial radio. All right, we're going to run out of time, so I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry I started late, and hopefully things will get better. We'll just keep trying. You know, that's all you can do. Please stick around. Zeptar, hope you come back in time for your show. I look forward to it. And please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. And that's in just a few minutes. Where's the exit music? There it is.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks, GTC 1977.
And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.